What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Stacking Slabs. This is your hobby content alternative. I'm your host, Brett McGrath. I collect sports cards. I have a podcast about collecting sports cards, and I'm really happy you're here. You're listening to the Wednesday episode, the flagship episode, the OG, the day one. We're going to get it going. We're going to get it started. There is a lot happening on this platform. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to dig into the topic. The topic today is how to rationalize when you pay up or throw comps out the window on a card versus waiting or trying to over-negotiate. The origin of that question in today's topic came from my good pal, Drake, at Drake's PC, presented this topic on the February live stream in the Patreon group. If you're interested in learning more, want exclusive content, connect with community, all the other freaking benefits, check out the link in the show notes. I'm going hard, dropping some stuff there, nonstop, can't stop, won't stop. But this topic came up from Drake on the live stream, and we chopped it up. And then I started to think about it more. And there started to be more responses and reactions from members of the community. So I thought, you know what? Let's take this to the main feed. Let's share it a little more. Let's chop it up. So that's what we're going to do that in the main segment to close this thing out. I'm going to talk about this platform, what you're going to get from the main feed, scheduling, all that stuff. But before I do, I am really inspired. I'm really excited about what's happening in sports and the new crop of mega star that is entering the scene. And I wrote about this in the Weekly Rip, the newsletter. It's free. It goes out in your inbox every Sunday. A link is in the show notes for that. But I talked about Wimby and I talked about Caitlin Clark. And I think as I'm observing Victor Wembanyama, Wimby, as they call him, we're seeing something special, certainly. And it's not just like a physical thing. It's a production thing. If you look at his numbers on a nightly basis and what he's doing, he's having a dramatic impact on the floor for his team. Exciting player. I think we need these transcendent and exciting players to come in and change the game and impact how we think or what's possible in the hobby and with collecting. I rewind the tape and I think about Shaq and I think about Shaq entering the NBA, and sure, it was a different time. Sure, it was a different market. Sure, there was a lot of different manufacturers, whole new ballgame. But I think about the magnet that Shaq was to me as a young collector and me going into the hobby shop, getting pulled into the hobby shop to see if I could pull his Stadium Club, Ultra, Upper Deck, whatever it was, rookie card. And so I think we get so caught up with potential as collectors, and it's just a part of the fabric of the community, which is fine. But most cases, potential is just that. It doesn't translate into wins, accolades, MVPs. And it's way early for Wimby. But I can tell you from what I'm seeing on the floor, I believe there is a good and justified reason for people to get excited about his cards. And I can't turn anywhere without someone talking about Wimby, talking about his cards. And I think that's exciting. And when we're talking about pulling people into the hobby, it shouldn't be influencers. It shouldn't be gimmicks. It shouldn't be cards going up. It shouldn't be all of these stereotypical things that we see on the front page of the hobby news and we see every time we open our app. That doesn't do it. What does it for new participants is getting excited and motivated by a player that's going to not only be good, but transcends the game. And I'm not ready to crown Wimby. I'm not ready to say he's the guy to do it, but I'm just saying he's someone who's got my attention. And I think whoever who's out there who's got his attention, I think that's it's a really good thing. And that made me think a lot about Caitlin Clark too. And I know there was an episode on Friday, go check it out, with Cold Lunch Cards, where we went Broadway and talking about Caitlin Clark. And there has not been a significant and a substantial audience for women's basketball cards. I know there's a niche audience who focuses in on collecting women's basketball cards, and it's phenomenal. I think there's so many of these niche categories, but I think about Caitlin Clark and what she's done and what she's doing and the momentum she has. I think about her as a magnet, much like Shaq was a magnet to me, much like Wimby is a magnet for a lot of people right now. And I think of Caitlin Clark and that potential. And I'm not going to lie, I'm on the freaking train. I'm all aboard. I'm excited. I'm excited because Caitlin Clark is going to be playing in my city in Indianapolis. She announced she's foregoing any more eligibility. She's going to be the number one pick in the draft. The Indiana Fever have that number one pick. And so I think it's just an interesting time in sports, and that translates directly to sports cards with two of these figures, Wimby and Caitlin Clark. And I think as we go about our business, as we collect our cards, whether we're going to jump into those streams or not, doesn't make a difference. I think what's important is just to notice what's happening and to appreciate what's happening and see how that ultimately translates to the hobby and what happens. A little bit of scheduling. If you saw an episode on your feed yesterday that you weren't expecting, there you go. Once a month, I'm going to be partnering with my man, Jameson, at Port City Sports Collectibles. It's going to be hobby shop talk. We're going to take a little bit of behind the scenes look at what a hobby shop owner is going through, what they're doing, what they're thinking, what people who are coming into the store are interested in. I believe the hobby shop is a foundational element for the hobby to grow. I think that's where the best education happens. And I know Jameson, being on year two of growing Port City Sports Collectibles in North Carolina, is motivated and excited to share what he's learning and seeing. And so once a month, he's going to be on and we're going to talk about it. And if you haven't got an opportunity to check out that episode, it is out there. Go check it out. Listen to it. Tell Jameson at Exquisite Sports Collectibles or at Port City Sports Collectibles that you enjoyed it. I'm going to bring that to you on Wednesdays. We're continuing to do the flagship show. Thursdays, thank you so much for all your feedback. We have auction talk with Nick at The War of Sports Cards. I really enjoyed the first conversation. We are going to be focusing in on just auctions, not just in PWCC, but we're going to be highlighting auctions across the board. Excited to share the new episode with you all that drops Thursday. And then Friday, Collector Conversations. We're going to continue to deliver Collector Conversations on Friday. This week, I got my man Seth at Soccer Card Corner. We're going to talk about soccer cards a little bit. Topic that I think is interesting. I don't know much about. If there's anyone out there who's a loyal listener of the Stacking Slabs podcast and you've been waiting for more soccer card content, there you go. Friday on the main feed. Also, I am digging into a lot of other stuff. I'm having a lot of conversations with a lot of people. How can I grow this platform? How can I bring in content that you all care about? So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and I will share any updates as soon as I can. One of the questions I have always is, how are we doing? Yeah, how are we doing mentally? How are we doing physically? How are we doing? But how are we doing as a hobby? I think we have all of these ways to view that, and it's not completely straightforward. But there's things we can do. We can go to shows. We can analyze the crowd. Is the crowd that's in the room this month bigger than the crowd that's in the room last month? Is there less people? Can we go to bigger shows? Get on a plane and go to the Dallas Card Show? Can we see that action and try to figure out, get a pulse of how the hobby is doing? I think shows are the best way. Shows, hobby shops, seeing that momentum, that community in those spaces is a really good way to analyze the health of the hobby. It's really straightforward. I think another thing we can do, right? We can look at online sales. We can see, are the cards that we're after or the cards that we desire, the cards that we own, are they more valuable today than they were yesterday? I don't think direct value indicates the complete health of the hobby in all instances and all circumstances, but it's a data point that we have to look at. I think it's been a tough time because we're still moving off of the parabolic madness that we had 2021 and 2022. And the retraction is real. And so I think a lot of us are still trying to figure things out, but I think online sales and what's happening digitally is a good way to look at it. I think there's trends and data. Obviously, I spend a lot of time looking at trends and data from CardLadder. CardLadder is a partner of Stacking Slabs podcast. It is my number one go-to place for data. But what I like to do is I like to dig into the trends and the data. And I like to look at it from a lot of different perspectives. And one of the ways I like to look at it is just looking at it from an industry perspective. I'm not sure I've heard many people talk about like the industry element of their platform. But I was looking at over the last few months, I guess from August, September, let's see here. Yeah, August to February. Okay. And I think one of the things I like to look at is total sales. What's incredible is that they're tracking the total sales across all major platforms. And so in August, there was August 2023, $217 million in cards sold across the World Wide Web that they're tracking. Then we started to see that number go down. So September, 181 million. October, 170 million. November, 153 million. December, we started to go back up, 190 million. January, we're going up, 200 million. February, we're up again, 204 million. It's insane, first of all, that amount of money is being sold on a monthly basis, sports cards online. Like, think about that for a second. Think about the space that you're playing in right now. That is a shit ton of money. And I think it's just interesting to check out what's happening on a monthly basis. Getting an understanding of those ebbs and flows might give you some direction when you're thinking about buying cards. One of the things that I like to look at too is just overall players. And I looked at like over the last month, out of all the players who have 100 cards or more in Card Ladder, who are the top 10 players? Who are the highest performing players just in terms of cards that are increasing in value? And I'm going to go, what I think is good about this list and gives me good feelings just in terms of the health of the hobby is that it is scattered and it's not just active players. It is multiple sports. It is different periods of time. And so I'm going to run through these. And I think this is great. And it's fun to talk about athletes, players, their cards, what they're doing. We're going to start at number 10. Number 10, legend, defining player in the era. Of course, we still talk about him, honored throughout the league. Jackie Robinson, just one of the most instrumental figures in baseball, in sports in general. He's at number 10 over the last month. 100 cards in his index. He's up 4%. Number 9, on a quest, and it's really hard to deny this at this point. I mean, come on. This guy is incredible, everybody. This guy is incredible. Nikola Jokic, the Joker, as they call him. His cards are up 4.8% over the last month. This is one of the best basketball players I can ever remember seeing. He is undeniable. He's unstoppable. Most efficient player. It's all the things. He's so fun to watch. And I just don't think he's going to be denied his third MVP this year on that MVP hunt. Number 8, Derek Jeter, up 4.8%. Derek Jeter's cards just continue to perform well. The captain, big market, big legacy. His cards continue to go. Number 7, Dr. J, Julius Erving, up 5.61%. So you can see this, right? You can see active players. You can see players from the past. Number 6, the big ticket, Kevin Garnett. Cards over the last month up 5.9%. Number 5, the best pitcher of my childhood or growing up watching this guy, Nolan Ryan, up 5.95%. Number 4, Hank Aaron. Baseball is hot, man. People are buying baseball. Hank Aaron, 6.7%. Number 3, Aaron Judge. Baseball's right around the corner, 7.95%. So we rattled off the last three, Nolan Ryan, Hank Aaron, Aaron Judge. Number two. Now, as I was pulling this data, I was like, these are more along the line. I thought the whole list would be players like I'm about to give you the top two. But I'm excited that they're like the whole list isn't active players that are high. It's good. This makes me feel good about where things are going. Number two, Patrick Mahomes. Cards up 9.25%. Just won his third Super Bowl. I think we saw last year, if you looked at the data, his cards went up the first month and then his cards went back down. I am paying attention. What's happening? Is it different this time? Is it not? Because whether we like it or not, Mahomes is what we need to look at when we're trying to understand what's happening with football cards in general. For so long, it was Brady and Brady. That's another story, is like, how does Brady's cards get impacted by what's happening on the Mahomes market? Is there any correlation? These are the things I'm thinking about. But it's an exciting time. Number one, probably the hottest, most talked about player in the NBA right now, and he's got the stats and the season to show for it. He's number two in the MVP race right now. His team is in the top three of the West. 31 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I know he's got a big boy card that's up for auction. His black one of one. His cards are up 10.34%. Now, a couple of few observations here. I love the diversity across the board: football, baseball, basketball, current, Hall of Fame. Again, I think that's a really good thing for the health of the hobby. I think I alluded to it, but what's next for Mahomes? And I decided to dig into Aaron Judge. And ever since his cards started to come out, if you're a long game player and you think about buying cards for the long haul, his cards are up 4,285%. That is something else. So I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I love getting... So I said to someone earlier this week, I think the rubber meets the road when you're able to talk about data and you're able to fuse that in with collectability and talking about those two things in parallel, I think are really good. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to talk more data. I'm trying to present some things on this program that I think are interesting. One of the things, obviously, that are interesting that I think all of us are the fact of buying big cards. And I think buying big cards is scary until you pull the trigger. And I'll tell you what, I have never regretted pulling the trigger on a big card after the fact. Oftentimes I black out and can't even remember what I had to give up to get those big cards. And when I'm talking about big cards, I understand what's a big card for me might not be a big card for you. Also, what might not be a big card for me or for you might not be a big card for me. There's various levels to this hobby. We all have completely different financial situations, ideas where we want to spend our money, all this stuff. So I think that's one of the things, just the qualifier in all of that, is that like big cards are different to different people and different collectors. So I define big cards to me are cards that I have to take equity out of my PC to acquire. So I'm not just paying straight cash for them, but I have to go to my case and say, you know what? I need to bunch of these cards together in order to get it. That's when I know it's a big card to me. And it's that whole judgment day thing that I talk about, is like putting your cards up for trial. Who's going to survive that thing? I posted my 2020 Donruss Tyrese Halliburton Black Laser 1/1 PSA 9 earlier this week. And the process that I had to go through mentally to acquire that card, it was listed on eBay. I had sent the message or the seller dozens of messages, got no response. Tried to figure out, man, based on when this card was bought last time, this is a lot higher than it is. It is a 1/1. How much do I want it? Why do I want it? Asking all those questions, and some qualifiers happen. Some signals happen that helped me qualify the purchase or qualify the bin smash. His out of 10 gold laser sold and gave me a data point. I saw Luca's black laser sell. That gave me a data point. I thought about his cards and how much they've gone up over the period of time when that card was last bought. All of these things. And then it was the silly stuff of, man, I am here smack dab in the middle of the All-Star game weekend. My guy's front and center. I want this card. I collect this card. And I'm just going to go off of emotion because I've got a little bit of data to back it up. And that's what I did. And that's why I bought the big card. So I think we all process and go through these things, and it's good. And we should think that way. And we should we should, if we're buying big cards to us, we should do whatever we can to make sure that when those cards come, that we're happy. And I got that card in hand. I posted it on Instagram at Stacking Slabs. You can go check it out, but I'm fired up and I don't regret it at all. And this is a segue into the main topic of how to rationalize when you pay up or throw comps out the window versus waiting or trying to over-negotiate the card. So that Tyrese card, it's gorgeous to me. It's beautiful. It hits the elements. It's a one-of-one of a card that has a legacy and a product that has a legacy, all of these things. And so I think we have to be excited when we're buying these big cards. And I think I go back to the friction that I had. And it's funny, when I ended up buying the card, the seller was great. And we communicated back and forth. And he made mention he was sad to give it up and how it was in his collection for a while. But I didn't get a response up until the point of me purchasing the card. And I reflect on that, and that's okay. I think we're in a friction-filled hobby, okay? It's not supposed to be seamless. Collectors come across cards that we want, that we PC, but they don't PC. And I think the question is, when those circumstances happen, how do we get those cards? And I think the way we collect cards and think about cards might be different than the way your neighbor thinks about cards and collect cards. Sometimes we see cards as collectors and you see a card and you're like, man, I don't collect this player, but this seems like a good deal and I have conviction around it. So we buy the card. And I think in those cases, sometimes we want to get those cards in the hand of collectors, but sometimes there's a reason why we bought it and we want to sit on it. And so I think that's where friction comes in. I think people are waiting to be swept off their feet, and that's why they bought their card in the first place. Like, there is the element that people are buying cards for financial gain. It is. So Jason Contrarian Cards put something in the group and I asked him, like, can I bring this up on the show? And here's a quote he wrote. I have a few cards that I like a lot and I'm happy to collect, but would not look to sell at reasonable prices. I think it comes down to, is there's so much focus and attention at the tippy top of the hobby that people feel compelled to hold the best stuff as leverage in the event a card they truly do want is coming to market that will command a ridiculous price. So we're all playing kind of this game of cat and mouse, and it makes things extremely frustrated where we buy a card and we won't give it up because we don't want to settle on a price because we know that the card that we want or when it comes up is going to have a ridiculous price. So we're going to wait to sell our card for the ridiculous price in order to get the card for the ridiculous price. That's not saying like that's the way it should be, or maybe it is saying it's the way it should be. It's just saying like that's what's going on. That is a thread that is going on throughout the hobby. Everyone has a different position, and that's what we're constantly competing against. We're competing against unique positions people have with the cards that they have in their collection when we're trying to get those cards out. I think I've grown as a collector. I try to be less absurd and be more protective when with my buys. But if a card I think about too much, like the Halliburton has all the elements come up, I usually find a way to justify the purchase. Everyone is justifying purchases constantly, and everyone is in different positions. Some people want to collect cards. Some people just love cards. And I think the frustration happens when there's a card sitting in someone's hands who doesn't collect that player, but we collect that player, but they bought the card for a reason that's very different than the reason that we want the card. It happens. This hobby is a melting pot. And the solution to all of this is to just continue to go through your reps and sets as a collector. Do what makes you happy. At the end of the day, don't get over your skis. Be patient and be kind and communicate. Tell people how you feel. Tell people why you want them. Post your damn cards. Treat the hobby as an escape. It should never be anything that overly stresses you out. I think this is the best hobby in the world. I love this. I spend way too much time on it. I do way too much shows. I love it. But I love talking about cards because it makes me feel good. And I know if this hobby was straightforward and I was able to walk in and get all the cards what I want right away, what the hell else would I do? My name is Brett McGrath. I collect sports cards. I have a podcast about collecting sports cards. Tune in to Auction Talk tomorrow. We've got the collector conversation with my man, Seth at Soccer Card Corner. Also, episode dropped yesterday with my man, Jameson at Port City Sports Collectibles. If you want more content from yours truly, sign up for the Patreon. A link is in the show notes. Take care of yourself. Take care of everyone around you. We'll be back. More Stacking Slabs on the other side.